بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Respected lovers of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, we were in the discussion of the beautiful life of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas رضي الله عنه, the Sahabi who was with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from the initial stages. Then we came to a point where we discussed a little bit of the Battle of Qadisiyah. But because this is such a central event in our Islamic history, when this was taking place, it was like the whole world was on a standstill waiting for the results of this battle and expedition. It was the Muslims that were strong with the help of Allah Ta'ala against the superpower of the world at that time. Just to recap, because this is such an important event, Muthanna ibn Haritha al-Shaybani radiyallahu anhu, who had taken Islam into Persia through the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and during the reign of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. On occasions, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu would hear the Kalbuzari, the reports of the efforts of Muthanna radiyallahu anhu and his men, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu would become so happy by that. And afterwards, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu sent Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu to strengthen the efforts of Muthanna radiyallahu anhu in Persia. And really, this did shake the Persians. And we did discuss some of these events previously when we were in the discussion of Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Then a time came where Muthanna radiyallahu anhu was appointed second to the leader, meaning Umar radiyallahu anhu changed the leader and he appointed Abu Ubaid as Amir, and Muthanna radiyallahu anhu complied. This shows the heroism, the true heroic qualities of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that they gave in to their Amir, that Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen decides, and he completely submitted and surrendered. And during that battle, it was known as the Battle of the Jisr, the bridge where Muslims were tricked and many of them lost their lives. And bravely Muthanna radiyallahu anhu defended his men after Abu Ubaid had become shaheed, Abu Ubaid radiyallahu anhu. After that expedition, Muthanna radiyallahu anhu fell severely ill, and at that time, the entire Persia were now rallying all their forces against the Muslims. And Umar radiyallahu anhu was alarmed by this. So he now was prepared himself. He was departing from Medina Munawwara on this expedition. And then the senior Sahaba radiyallahu anhum stopped him. There's different views of exactly what happened here. And then opinions were taken again that Umar radiyallahu anhu was requested, please you stay behind in Medina Munawwara. And he refused. He said, I will take on this expedition because it is too important. Until Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu gave the opinion of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. And Umar radiyallahu anhu says, yes, if there's anyone who can go in my place, it can be Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, because he is the lion of Allah. He is a lion with his claws. Al-Asadu fi barathinihi. So we see how Umar radiyallahu anhu accepted Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu to replace himself. This was the reliance that Umar radiyallahu anhu had on Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu departed. But look at Muthanna bin Harith al-Shaybani radiyallahu anhu. What a man of Allah. He gave everything for Allah. And on his deathbed, what advices he gave. He gave guidelines, guiding Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu, giving teachings on how should the work take place in Persia. Imagine the sacrifice of Muthanna radiyallahu anhu, wherein his request was that after his wife is out of her iddah, Sa'ad radiyallahu anhu should marry her. Imagine what love he has for his wife, but look at his love for deen, that his wife learnt everything with him through his sacrifices. And now the senior Sahabi would be continuing from the efforts of Muthanna in these foreign lands. So he wants his wife to marry Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, because then she'll be able to share the experiences of Muthanna radiallahu anhu with Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, and that would be able to encourage him more and guide him in very, very difficult circumstances. This is the sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that deen is priority and everything else is secondary. Okay, we did discuss Umar radiallahu anhu instructing Sa'ad radiallahu anhu to continuously send reports, letters of the whereabouts of the Muslims, the description of the lands, and this happened repeatedly as the instruction of Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu continued sending advisors for Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and his men on different occasions. Amazing, marvelous advisors saying, make sure we stay away from sin. The men should stay away from guna, because Allah's help comes when we abstain from sin. Allah's help comes through a'mal. If we lose the help of Allah, it is numbers with numbers, and where can our numbers compare to theirs? And look at Allah's help with the people of Iman. Umar radiallahu anhu instructed them to base themselves at a place called Qadisiyah. This is near the desert of Arabia, so that there is defense also, there is the fortress of the Arab, which is Arabia, something which he is accustomed to, and we're not so much into the Persian lands where they are in their comfort zone. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu made effort to get them out of their comfort zone. And then also just to recap, how Sa'ad radiallahu anhu camped at a certain point, and he sent jamaats of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for tabligh and for dawat. He sent 14 Sahaba radiallahu anhum to encourage Yazdajild to change his life and connect to Allah and repent and turn to Allah, and how people would be guided through him. And obviously Yazdajild was very, very upset. Then Sa'ad radiallahu anhum sent Sahaba radiallahu anhum to give dawat to Rustam, and on different occasions he sent Rabi'i bin Amir radiallahu anhu. Then he sent Hudhaifa bin Mihsan radiallahu anhu. Then he sent Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhum. These three Sahaba radiallahu anhum took amazing strategies in inviting Rustam to Allah. Rustam was amazed by the dawat of Rabi'i bin Amir radiallahu anhu, who comes into the court of Rustam with his simple dress, beautiful garb of sunnah. How beautiful is sunnah? How beautiful is sunnah? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for all occasions. Whether it is one has to attend a nikah, or one has to attend the janazah, or one has to attend some business transaction, or one has to go to the masjid, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so perfect for every occasion. Stress free. A person must be clean and must be on sunnah with a beautiful scent. All this encompasses the sunnah. And the sunnah encompasses this. How beautiful is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Akmal hai, atam hai, ajmal hai, ahsan hai. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah is most perfect, most complete, most beautiful. Excellent is the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is what Allah loves most. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what Allah loves most. Allah says in Quran, "Qul," tell them, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "In kuntum tuhibbun Allah," if you claim you love Allah, "fattabi'uni," so follow me, emulate me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will forgive you. Allah will love you and forgive you your shortcomings and sins. Rabi'i radiallahu anhu arrives in the court of Rustam with all his pomp and glory. This was the most advanced country and empire of the world. And look at their pomp and glory, and this is what they pined for. But the Sahabi takes no effect because his gaze is on Allah. He's not affected by their dunya. He's not affected by their know-how. He's not affected by their degree. He's not affected by their wealth. He takes effect from Allah. And that's what affects humanity. When he stands in front of Rustam, this is the most powerful commander in the world at that time, as far as worldly standing is concerned. And Rustam asks him, "What brings you people here?" Rabi'i radiallahu anhu says, We haven't come. Ma ji'na ilaykum. Allah has sent us to you. Allahu ibta'athana ilaykum. Allah has sent us to you. لنخرج العباد. Other wordings, لنخرج من شاء من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد. To take mankind, to take creation out of the servitude of makhluq, to connect them to the servitude of Allah, to take them out of the injustice of every other creed and way and practice, to the justice and the perfect practice of Islam. Allah sent us to take mankind out of the constrainedness, their constrained, tight, depressing path, to put them into the peaceful, loving, blissful path of Islam and of Deen. فَأَرْسَلَنَا بِدِينِهِ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ لِنَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ Allah sent us with His Deen to His creation to give them da'wah to Him. Rib'i radiallahu anhu highlights the work of every believer. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has returned to Allah. This is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining to the ummah till qiyamah that when you are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'wat to call to Allah, to invite to Allah is your job. To invite every Muslim to Allah. To invite every non-Muslim to Allah. This is the duty of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I implore you, my respected listeners, start with those who are associated with you. One's friends, one's colleagues, one's associates, one's neighbors, one's teachers, one's employers, one's employees, one's students. Make the appeal, request, invite, explain how beautiful Allah is. Explain the oneness of Allah. Explain to humanity. Just today Allah gave us tawfiq with some revered brothers, alhamdulillah. We went to visit one home. Someone was sick. And the residents of this home were Hindu. And we sat with them, explaining to them. Let's see, we all have to die. Today we worry what people are going to say if we follow the truth. Do we ever worry what is the Almighty going to say? Because when we leave this world, we're going to stand before Him alone. And really, just the simple words, they want to listen. They want to... And I opened the translation of the Quran. I read the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Anbiya. How beautiful to read. And the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with Qarun. How humanity is waiting for this message. This message is for them. This message is for humanity. If we don't give them this da'wat, really we are being unjust to them. We are curtailing their rights. We are falling short in our fulfillment of our responsibility. And as Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully, that this is their haqq, and if we don't give it to them, then definitely our residents in the different countries of the world will not be welcome. Why? When we have fallen short towards our duty. Maulana rahimahullah explained so beautifully. Show humanity. Because see Sahaba radiallahu anhu, how they spread the beautiful deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message from the beginning, inviting to Allah. But analyze the first 13 years of his effort of iman and the verses of Quran that were revealed on those occasions of Makkah Mukarramah. Then the second 10 years in Medina Munawwara, 23 years. But analyze the first 7 years of that Medinan stage. Still, the amount of Muslims, men would have been approximately 3,000. Okay, women folk and children would have been a couple of more thousand than that. But analyze the men folk. Then 7th year Hijri, there was ceasefire. There was a truce where there was peace between Medina Munawwara and the Meccans. The people of Makkah could not now attack the Muslims. And now there was interaction. There was association. So 13 years of Makkah, 7 years of Medina, approximately 3,000 Muslim men. And analyze few years from now on, 7th year to the 10th year. In this short span of time, Islam spread in these 3 years more than it spread in the first 19, 20 years. How? Because now they interacted with the Muslims. We interact with these people. We associate with them. We deal with them. Did we imprint our beautiful deen on them? Were they impressed with our character, our akhlaq? And did we put forth the message? Sahaba radiallahu anhum took every opportunity to portray. Yes, we do not force, but we are inviters. We are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we are the ummah of invitation. We invite, because there's no Nabi to come. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final Nabi of Allah. Rabi'i bin Amir radiallahu anhu highlights this. When he had left the court of Rustam, Rustam was shocked. Those around him said, look at this man's dressing. Rustam said, why don't you analyze his speech, what he said, think. The second day when Rustam requested the same sahabi, because he was so influenced and affected by Rabi'i radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sent Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes before Rustam. Why have you come? Where's your friend? So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu explains that our Amir chooses who should come.
And he sends us on different occasions and tasks of deen, and we obey our Amir whether we like it or not. And what da'wah did Hudhayfah radiallahu anhu give? Hudhayfah bin Mihsan radiallahu anhu. He gave the same da'wah that Rib'i radiallahu anhu gave, that we haven't come. Allah has sent us to take mankind out of servitude of creation, out of taking effect from makhluq, to be affected by Allah and take effect from Khaliq and love Khaliq, connect creation to the Khaliq, to the creator of the universe, that one Allah is doing and giving and taking and providing and loving. He is merciful, kind, compassionate. Everything belongs to Him. Everything comes from Him. Everything returns to Him. Everything is for Him. And nothing can belong to anybody else besides Allah. He does everything and anything without the help of creation. Creation can do nothing without the help of one Allah. Hudhayfah radiallahu anhu gave the same da'wat of Rib'i radiallahu anhu. On the third day, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu sends Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. He comes into the court of Rustam. And he approaches this ruler, this commander, and he sits right next to him. And all the servants of Rustam and his soldiers pounce on Hudhayfah, Mughira radiallahu anhu, to pull him away. So Mughira radiallahu anhu said, that why didn't you all tell me before that you are a people who worship creation? By us, all makhluq are equal. All of us are equal. One Allah is in control. Why didn't you all tell me that you all enslave each other? So his tactic was to show the slaves and the people who were looked down upon by the Persians, and they were just taken along for medial work, and they were disgraced and belittled. He wanted to show them and impress upon them that Islam teaches character and respect for one and all, despite the caste one comes from, or the creed one comes from, or the color of one, or his language, or nationality, or race. All is equal in Islam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's nubuwwah transcends all bounds of color, race, nationality, country, language. Mughira radiallahu anhu practically proved this. And then they asked, how much time do you give us? Because Rustam was so affected by this, he wanted to postpone because Allah had put fear in their hearts despite his number. Rib'i radiallahu anhu and Hudhayfah all said, we can give you only 3 days to think. So he said, how can you just choose that? Are you the Amir? He said, no, this is the sunnah of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we give you 3 days to think. So in the discussion of Rustam with Mughira radiallahu anhu, at the end, the masses would now say, Sadaqa wallahi al-Arabi. Definitely the Muslim has spoken the truth. And the senior citizens of the Persians would say, that this man, لَقَدْ رَمَى بِكَلَامٍ لَا تَزَالُ عَبِيدُنَا تَنْزِعُ إِلَيْهِ. He put such statements amongst us that our lower class people are all affected by him. And then Rustam spoke again after that, trying to uplift the condition and the situation of the Persians and disgrace the Arabs and the Muslims. When he said this also, Mughira radiallahu anhu responded to Rustam saying, that yes, you say our condition is difficult and we are disunited. So he said that was our condition in the past. Allah has now united us through Islam. And Allah has brought good conditions for us. And our reason for coming here is not wealth. Our reason for coming here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you all had to make shukr to Allah, appreciate Allah for your bounties, for the bounties of Allah that He has given you, your appreciation would be little, because Allah gave you so much. But your ingratitude has taken you to this condition. So Allah has sent a Nabi, and we should follow him, so we give you this choice. Embrace Islam. After the three Sahaba radiallahu anhu had returned, Rustam sat with his men again and said, what do you all think? They were really affected by the da'wat of the three Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And they said, look at them. The message was the same, but using different patterns and methods. By Allah, these are true men. What they say is so true, and no one would be able to conquer and defeat them. Then, this is the statement of the Persians in regards to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Anyway, amongst the Muslims now, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu gave this khutbah encouraging them. He recited this verse of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Where Allah says, we have decreed in the Quran, after it is already enshrined in the Zabur as well, that the lands of Allah will be acquired and inherited by Allah's pious, righteous servants, salihun. Salihun means those who are righteous and pious. And the other meaning of salihun are those who will benefit humanity. Those who will be a benefit and a service to humanity, Allah will give them the lands. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu corrected the intentions of people, that we have to be pious and we have to be righteous and we have to serve humanity. And then he instructed the Qurra to recite Surah Al-Anfal to the entire army of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Everyone heard, listened to the recital of Surah Al-Anfal, because the verdicts of battle and the etiquettes of battle and the encouragement is mentioned in this chapter. And Allah's special mercies came. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu explained that he would be reciting 4 takbirs and what should be done after each takbir. He was very, very sick. Imagine Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, the commander of this army, was very, very sick. So he had the sciatica and these sores on his entire body. He couldn't even sit on the horse. So he had camped himself on a fortress on the battlefield near the side of the Muslims. But obviously it was very, very dangerous. But Sa'ad radiallahu anhu wanted to take the chance because he was viewing the entire battle in front of him. And he appointed Khalid bin Urfutah radiallahu anhu to be his deputy and to take his commands onto the ground and onto the field. So that was what was taking place. Something else interesting is that Rustam had sent some of his men to creep in silently and secretly amongst the Muslims, to reside amongst them for a few days, to return to the Persians with the report of the Muslims' way of residence, how they live, how they sleep, what they do in the day, what they do in the night. Rustam wanted details of the condition of the Muslims. And he returned and he gave this report of how their day is with mercy unto humanity and their lions. And at night they are pious, righteous rabbis, meaning they worship Allah Ta'ala at night, crying to Allah. This man had even seen them performing, using miswak before every salah. Allah give us tawfiq to utilize this beautiful sunnah of miswak. Allah's victory comes with sunnah. Anyway, Rustam even asked them, what do the Muslims eat? And he responded. And then he explained in different ways. In that, during that interim, whilst the Persians were camped on their side and the Muslims on theirs, and Rustam heard the adhan, it was the adhan of Fajr. The Muadhin had given the adhan of Fajr. And from a distance, he's saying, the Muslims, just get up. So Rustam is calling his men, quickly get ready, quickly get ready. They ask him why. So he said, see, أَمَا تَرُونَ إِلَىٰ عَدُوبِكُمْ قَدْ نُودُوا فِيهِمْ فَتَّحَشْحَشُوا لَكُمْ. Your enemy have been called and rallied for you. Now they're all gathering and standing in their rows for you. So his spy who spent some time with the Muslims said, no, this is the call to prayer, the call to salah. And this is how they perform salah. And when Rustam heard this adhan, and he saw this entire scene of salah and prayer, he was shocked. And he said, أَكَلَ عُمَرُ كَبِدِي. That certainly Umar radiallahu anhu has devoured my liver, meaning I am finished. Look at the condition of these Muslims. Everything that they have in them is so beautiful. So this salah affected him. Something else very interesting was, as the Muslims carried on, the 4 days of battle took place. Each day has its separate name. But after this interim, the Muadhin had become Shaheed. And now everyone wants to give the adhan. And they vying with one another. And Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he said that I remember the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if my ummah knew the value of adhan, they would vie with one another. And they would finally resolve to casting lots to actually have the opportunity to give the adhan, because the adhan is so virtuous. To give the adhan and to stand in the first saf. Allah give us all tawfiq to love the adhan, respect the adhan, and give the adhan. Anyway, this battle ensued. It was 4 days of severe battle, so severe that each day has it had its own name. The first day being Yawmu Armas, that was on the 13th of Sha'ban, in the 5th year Hijri. The second day's name would be Yawmu Aghwath, the day of Aghwath. And the third day is Yawmu Immas. These are the famous names of these 3 days. Anyway, the Muslims being few, there was an expectation of reinforcement, because Umar radiallahu anhu instructed the Sahaba in Sham, in Syria, who were fighting the Roman Empire, who were taking Islam into Rome, you'll send reinforcements. So a great Sahabi, Qa'qa ibn Amr ibn al-Tamimi radiallahu anhu, was on his way, and Hashim bin Utba radiallahu anhu as well, but they were coming in different contingents. Anyway, this was the first day. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu gave instructions, and he explained what should be done after each takbir. What should be done? For example, after the first takbir, remain calm, remain still, and get ready. And he guided them what to do after each takbir. And then Sa'ad radiallahu anhu gave advice, keep on reciting, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That, oh Allah, we can't do. Only you can do. Allah, there's no power or strength to accomplish anything or to be protected from any harm except with your power and your help and your assistance. And the takbir of the ummah was so powerful that it was resounding in the horizon, the takbir of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. After the third takbir, Ghalib radiallahu anhu comes forward to challenge, to make mubaraza, a combat. And from the Persian side, Hurmuz came. Ghalib radiallahu anhu defeated him. Anyway, that first day took place. And it was a very, very difficult day. And when that day passed, it was so difficult that even Khansa radiallahu anhu called her sons that night after Yawm Armas, and she gave them encouragement, she gave them advices. Allah blessed her with 4 sons, and she reminded them of why she gave birth to them, that I give birth to you for Allah, to strive for Allah and sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she guided them on what to do on the severe battle in her most eloquent manner, because she was known as the best poetess of Hijaz. And there was on many occasions she won the contest of poetry in Jahiliyyah. So she advised her children in such an eloquent manner. In the Fada'il al-A'mal, you can read the entire story of Khansa radiallahu anha in all the books of Sira, like Ibbidaya wa Nihaya and Al-Kamil fi Tariqh, mention how she encouraged her children. And then on the second day, which was Yawm Aghwath, when her children were striving and going in the battlefield, they were reciting poetry, reminding each other of the advices of their mother. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And imagine, all of them gave their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when she gets the news the next day, she turns to Allah in appreciation. Obviously she was missing them, but she knows they were given for Allah's pleasure, for Allah's sake, for Allah's deen. For deen to reach the 4 corners of the world. For humanity to get hidayat, her four children gave sacrifice. And she was now honored that I would be called on the day of Qiyamah as the mother of the martyrs. When she found it so difficult to tolerate the loss of a loved one, when she had lost her 2 brothers, Sakhr and another brother of hers, she was so hurt that for years and years she would mourn. And that actually prompted her most emotional poetry that even Umar radiallahu anhu was heartened by. But that was in Jahiliyyah, where she couldn't bear it. Now after Iman, and she lost her 4 children, she says, now you have the special help of Allah Ta'ala. There she lost her brothers, she couldn't bear it. Here she's losing her sons, and she was so strong. That is what Iman does to a person. What was also deadly on the first day was that the Persians had many elephants, more than 30 elephants, and this was crushing the Muslims. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu made mashura, and they had actually found a strategy of
making the elephant dysfunctional. They had destroyed the boxes on top of the elephants. So on the second day, the elephants were dysfunctional. Alhamdulillah. And what had happened was, late at night, Qa'qa' radiallahu anhu had arrived. So he camped far away from the Muslims, from the Muslim camp. And what he did was, now to strengthen the Muslims, he had come with his 1,000 men. And he's such a great Sahabi. Where Umar radiallahu anhu would say, لا يهزم جيش فيه القعقاع. An army in which Qa'qa radiallahu anhu is, can never ever lose. And Umar radiallahu anhu would say, لصوت القعقاع في المعركة يقوم مقام ألف فارس. Qa'qa radiallahu anhu's sound and his scream on the battle takes the place of 1,000 powerful horsemen. Anyway, how he sent his men in. At the time of Fajr, when everyone is awake, Persians also had got up early, and the Muslims had performed their tahajjud and just performed the fajr, and Qa'qa radiallahu anhu's men arrive. But he sent them in groups of 100 to make the 1,000 seem much more than they really are, instructing each contingent to arouse a lot of dust and soil, but not in groups of 100, in groups of 10 after 10, so they seemed so much. And as Qa'qa radiallahu anhu arrived, he asked for a combat, mubaraza, and one man from the Persians come forth, and he was Bahman Jadawi. Qa'qa radiallahu anhu, not recognizing his face, asking him, who are you? So he says, I am Bahman Jadawi. So Qa'qa radiallahu anhu knew his name, and he screamed out, yes, ya lathārāti Abi Ubaid, oh you the one who treacherously tricked Abu Ubaid, now is my chance of revenge. If you can just recall, respected listeners, the battle of Abu Ubaid radiallahu anhu, where he crossed the river and the Persians not allowing them to come through, attacking them before they had arrived, despite their numbers being so few, and that was the battle that caused the death of many of the Muslims, and including the Musanna radiallahu anhu. That commander was Bahman Jadawi. That was the only victory that the Persians had received throughout that interim of battlefield, of battle in Persia. So this was that famous commander. So Qa'qa radiallahu anhu knew him. So in this combat, alhamdulillah, Qa'qa radiallahu anhu put an end to him. So it was definitely a blessing for the Muslims to have him. Another bounty on the second day was that elephants were dysfunctional because there was no boxes on top of it. So there was no one to sit on top of the elephant to guide it. And also Qa'qa radiallahu anhu had a strategy where he had veiled the camels. Obviously not the eyes, but the body of the camel. So it made the camel look huge and different. And this instilled fear in the horses of the Persians. So this had a great impact. Like the elephants affected the horses of the Muslims on the first day, here now the horses of the Persians were affected. So this was a great boon for the Muslims. Meaning amongst them, having Qa'qa radiallahu anhu amongst them as well. The Muslims were still much fewer, and they were still waiting after the second day. There were many losses. And also the Persians had much more losses. So that night, they're waiting. Other reinforcements from Sham, and those reinforcements hadn't arrived yet, under Hashim bin Utbah radiallahu anhu. Hashim bin Utbah bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. This is the nephew of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. In that, Qa'qa radiallahu anhu had a strategy. He remained the entire night awake, keeping his men vigilant, saying to them that the army are waiting this reinforcement. What we have to do is, they met at the same point outside where they met the first day. Not everyone had recognized them yet because they were still newcomers. And what Qa'qa radiallahu anhu instructed his men is, we would follow the same strategy like the first day. We come in, but in groups of 100 this time, one after the other, so that the Muslims are increased in their morale and strength, that our reinforcements have come, and the Persians would be struck with disbelief and dismay and fear that now Muslims are continuously getting reinforcements. And in that, as Qa'qa radiallahu anhu was sending his men in into the battlefield, just before everyone had started, alhamdulillah, Hashim radiallahu anhu had arrived, and he understood the strategy. So him and his men
followed the same strategy, and this had a great impact in raising the morale of the Muslims. But also there was danger this day because the elephants were now functional. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu made mashura with the new Muslims who were now amongst the Muslims, but they were Persians, that how would we now destroy the effect of the elephants, because they are deadly, very, very dangerous. And they came to a conclusion that we have to go for the lips, the trunks of the elephant and the eyes of the elephant, and then no one can benefit from them. So he sent a message to Qa'qa radiallahu anhu and his brother Asim radiallahu anhu, that how should they go for the elephants, the white elephant, and then to Hammal bin Malik radiallahu anhu and Rabil bin Amr radiallahu anhu to go for the colored elephant, and so forth and so forth. And alhamdulillah, Muslims gained victory on this day. And finally, on the last day, which of Qadisiyah, alhamdulillah, the Muslims increased their efforts and their dua, and alhamdulillah, Rustam was then finished, and the Muslims turned to Allah Ta'ala in appreciation, and they had won this battle of Qadisiyah. Alhamdulillah, on the fourth day of Qadisiyah, the 16th of Sha'ban, alhamdulillah, victory was the side of the Muslims. By Asr time, the victory had taken place. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu writes to Umar radiallahu anhu, the Kal Guzari, explaining what had happened and what and the amount of Muslims that became shuhada, which were 8,500, and the number of the Persians were an unlimited amount of people. And in this, he praised Allah Ta'ala and then explained how the Muslims triumphed and conquered. And then he mentioned the names of those Muslims who were shuhada. Amongst them was Sa'id bin Ubaid radiallahu anhu, the great teacher of the Quran amongst the Sahaba, and so and so, Fulanun wa Fulanun. Sa'ad writes, لا نعلمهم الله بهم عالم. We don't know every one of them and every last detail, but Allah knows every one of them. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu writes, كانوا يدوون بالقرآن إذا جن الليل. They would sound like buzzing bees with the Quran at night. Their nights were not in sleep, but their nights were in tilawat of the Quran. And then, وَهُمْ أَسَادُ النَّاسِ. They truly are lions of all people. Even lions cannot be as brave as them. لَا يُشْبِهُهُمُ الْأُسُودِ وَلَمْ يَفْضُلْ مَنْ مَضَى مِنْهُمْ مَنْ بَقِي إِلَّا بِفَضْلِ الشَّهَادَةِ. Those that have gone and those that have remained, those that have superseded, are not more virtuous than those that have remained. Yes, Allah has given them shahada, which is a great virtue, but those that still lasted in this battle are very, very great. Because they didn't die, because it wasn't their decree yet. And then Sa'ad radiallahu anhu mentioned that these men are certainly, you know, they are so great, they are a reminder of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum of Badr. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّيِّ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.